Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Thursday to you. Well, here is a question I want to ponder today. Are you ready? What happens when our bodies go through the detox process? What happens when our bodies go through the detox process? For example, when a longtime alcoholic suddenly goes off alcohol, what happens in the body? What are the symptoms? What's going on? Or when a longtime sugaraholic goes off sugar, what does that detox process look like? And is it different than an alcohol detox? And how about this one? A longtime statin user. Maybe you use statins for cholesterol. My hubby's on a statin for that. And you go maybe 5 days or so without taking it. Your medicine runs out. And suddenly, this happens to my hubby where he can barely walk. All of his joints start hurting so bad. What's that about? Well, we are continuing our monthly feature called Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And he joins me in studio again. And we're going to kick off our conversation talking about the issue of detox and the process, what it looks like. And do we all need to detox? That's another one of my questions. And we'll also take time to answer your questions. But I've got an amazing announcement that you're only going to hear here. You're not going to see it on the website. There'll be no radio spots. So listen in, friends. Next month, August 24th, for our Health and Healing segment, Dr. Troy will be in studio with a live studio audience. We're going to move the whole thing down into a room, and we've got a number of donors coming in, but I think we've got availability for 20 more seats to fill, right? So this is how we're doing it. Email if you want a chance to receive an invitation. So everybody's going to email. 20 of you or so will be picked, and you'll receive a formal invitation via email. So if you know you're available, you live in the Twin Cities area, want to make the trek, and you want to meet Dr. Troy face-to-face and have a good 2 hours where we're going to take live studio audience questions. We'll have some refreshments. It's going to be great, great fun. Email me, Suzy@myfaithradio.com, and do reference the Dr. Troy live studio audience. And we need your phone number. So we need your email, your phone number, and reference that this is what you're emailing about, that you want to be part of the live studio audience next month with Dr. Troy, Suzy@myfaithradio.com. Also, we're giving away 2 copies of Kay Warren's Choose Joy devotional, 2 copies every month. Well, the month is almost over, but if you want a chance to win a copy of Kay Warren's wonderful devotional, just hop on our website at myfaithradio.com and sign up to win. All right, let me tell you about my guest, though I don't think he needs an introduction, and we'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is CEO and founder of Synapse, the Center for Health and Healing. He travels extensively conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company is located in Eagan, Minnesota, and we're always honored to have him with us. Dr. Troy, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
So thank you for letting me tell you what I want us to talk about. Did you have a choice? I don't know.
No, but it's okay. I like it. Like
you're a good sport.
I have to think as hard.
Yeah. Anytime I throw something at you, you know, you could say, no, I actually want to talk about this. And I'd be like, okay, because I'm a total rule follower, right? So before we get into the whole detox process, so do you have a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us?
I do. It's Acts 22:16. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name.
Wow. Talk to me about that one.
Well, for me, when you gave me the topic of detoxification, this is what came to mind. It's a cleansing. It's basically a renewing of our body. And this is an equivalent for me. It's not not to take away grace by faith, but it basically is a washing away of our sins. Mm-hmm. And it's about staying close to God, staying in the Word. And when it comes to detoxification, it's something where it just, our body starts to naturally cleanse itself of things that get in the way. And it's so similar to the walk that we have as Christians, where we have all these toxins, free radicals, whether it be in the media or the people around us or the world around us. There's Our walk as Christians is filled with just this pure perfection that's complicated by all of these toxins. Mm-hmm. That's their main goal is to disrupt that perfection. And so in the health world, detoxification basically is the elimination of things that your body doesn't use, need, or want, and that actually can do harm to us. And so they're very, very similar as far as that conversation. So,
you know, is it Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run the race marked out before us. I mean, there's something about that saying there's stuff in your life that's sinful. There's stuff that's not sinful, but it's slowing you down. Get rid of it so you can run faster and harder. I mean, there's the parallel, isn't it?
It is right there. Exactly right. Yeah.
That was amazing of me just now.
Yes, I'm impressed.
I'm totally kidding. I don't need an email. But truly, though, the parallel is fascinating. And what is also interesting, Dr. Troy, is when you trash your body enough, you find a new normal and it's a slow descent and you don't even really know how much stuff you're absorbing. How does that happen?
Well, you're desensitizing. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that your body does become used to the new norm and you don't know because it's happening so slowly.
Wow.
And I'm going to say the same thing is true in the Christian walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very true. And so there's a lot of similarities here. And I've had people who have come in just addicted to fast food, and they eat fast food 7 days a week. And then we clean up their diet, and we get them really clean, and they kind of collapse again, and they walk in. And I had one particular patient comes to mind where they walked in, not to pick up on McDonald's there, but they walked into a McDonald's, and the smell was enough for them to start gagging and get a little bit nauseous because they had gotten so far away from it that it didn't stop them from ordering, by the way. But when they took that first bite, they're like, they could just taste chemicals, not food.
Right.
And that was enough for them not to go back.
That happens with sugar too, where if you're a sugarholic, you taste the flavors in sugar. But when you get rid of sugar and then you, whatever you eat, when you introduce sugar again, all you taste is the thing that's bad for you.
Yes.
So we do really get desensitized to the very things
100%.
That aren't good for us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lettuce has a flavor. Not many people know that.
Wow. Yeah, exactly.
A strong flavor.
Wow. Amazing. Okay. So let's talk about the scenario of someone who's maybe just been a steady drinker and it's slowly increasing to the point where they've been saturated for years. And then they go through detox. They realize, you know, I've got a problem here, and they go into a detox process. They get the tremors and the shakes. What's happening in their body?
Well, when your body becomes used to something, first of all, if you give up anything, alcohol or even coffee or a food, if there's a negative reaction, it means you're doing that in excess.
Oh, wow.
And so that's good feedback. So even if you stop, you want to try anything, you stop it for a couple of days. If you get jittery, if you get shakes or any type of withdrawal type symptoms, it means you're doing it in excess. So it's a good way for people to see, am I drinking coffee or caffeine in excess? Well, give it up for 3 to 7 days. If you get a headache and then a headache goes away after 3 days, you are doing it in excess. It's a good way just to test your system. Same thing with wheat, dairy. Sugar is a strong one. And alcohol is a special one because alcohol is a sugar. And it's also got the alcohol component. And the crazy thing about alcohol withdrawal, depending on the level of severity and the chronicity, is it can have severe detrimental effects to our brain.
Wow.
So it mimics a chemical in our body called GABA. It's a GABA agonist. So GABA deals with the area of the brain that deals with muscle memory, coordination of thought and muscles. That's why when you drink too much alcohol, you literally forget how to walk and talk. You stumble and slur. And so when you go off of that, that brain chemical GABA, all of a sudden the receptors are still waiting for that GABA to be bound to it, and it's not there. And so what ends up happening, most of the severe reactions are because of the brain chemical GABA. You're still, we'll talk about sugar stuff afterwards and those withdrawal symptoms, but all of a sudden you're talking about GABA and muscle memory. So severe alcohol withdrawal, we'll see seizure activity. We'll even see little mini seizures. We'll see anxiety because GABA is calming. Most people go to alcohol because they just want to feel or not feel the anxiety of life. And so GABA itself is a calming brain chemical. Alcohol mimics it, and it does well in the beginning, actually. It actually serves us pretty well to calm those areas of the brain. But long term, guess what? It doesn't quite work so well. We see a deterioration of other brain function, and the nature of how GABA is made is you have to have a good balance of blood sugar, insulin, and cortisol, cortisol being the stress hormone. So it becomes very, very important to know that as you consume more refined sugar, you know you're going to get some level of insulin resistance and diabetes. Insulin resistance affects not just insulin and blood sugar, but also your cortisol. So the act of drinking more and more and more leads to the thing that doesn't allow you to produce the GABA that keeps you calm. So you need more GABA to feel that calm. So people keep going back to the alcohol. So the other component is a lot of people have sensitivities or allergies, food allergies. And so you've got the majority of alcohol tends to be wheat-based, especially over here in the United States. So a lot of people who have gluten sensitivities and wheat sensitivities will actually crave the alcohol and then start consuming it, and that can set off that whole downward spiral of brain scenarios and complications. When you pull that out, your brain is looking for that calming neurotransmitter. When it doesn't happen, you get glutamate, the excitatory neurotransmitter, starting to rise. One of the things glutamate does is cause seizures. And seizures basically means overactive nerves. So if it's in an area of the brain that deals with muscles, then you'll start getting joint aches and pains and contraction of muscles. Your muscles will actually get tight and achy. If it deals with the area of the brain that deals with emotions, you're going to start perseverating and having emotional seizures almost, where you're starting to have anxiety and you just can't stop or shut down the brain. If it happens in an area of the brain that helps to deal with memory, you can't remember a thing. All the new stuff that comes in just goes right out in one ear and out the other. So we start to see these physical effects because GABA is not binding to an area of the brain called the cerebellum. And we see the anxiousness, the jitters, the shakes. It should last 2 to 3 days in the average person. And in an alcoholic, it's weeks and sometimes months that they have to go through these scenarios.
So we basically would have a kind of a self-calming mechanism in our brains if we didn't abuse it by doing taking some kind of artificial something, right?
Yes.
To manufacture, because then is it kind of like the whole atrophy thing, use it or lose it? So since we're not actually using that, we're artificially jumping in there.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, on MRI, you can actually tell a chronic alcoholic just by looking at an MRI of their brain, because the cerebellum starts to shrivel up and shrink.
Wow, absolutely
amazing.
So
atrophy is right.
Wow, there's so many more questions I have around this idea of detox. So we're going to talk more about that. But you know what? We promised we're going to open up the phone line. But just not yet. I was about to, but I think I have a few more questions. You can email me. I see a few questions coming in. We will open those phones in just a minute. It's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We're talking detox. It just feels really important because I think we all have things we can lay down for a little bit to see just a reset in our health. What about you? I wonder if you want to lay something down. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. It's that time again to have Dr. Troy in studio, Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We're talking about the process of detox. We'll open those phone lines up in a minute. I want to just tell you, as I said, you're not going to hear this on any spots. You're not going to see this on our website. This is just for you and me, baby. We're having next month Dr. Troy doing a live studio audience. We're bringing in some of our donor friends, but we also have about 20 seats available. If you want to be in on the live studio audience, we'll draw 20 names. So email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We just need your name and phone number and just reference that you're interested in the live studio audience with Dr. Troy. He's so fun in person. You'll just absolutely love it. We'll have some refreshments. It'll be great. And I'll answer a few doctor questions myself. In my dreams. Okay, so back to this detox thing. So we were talking about the idea of so fascinating how God has wired our bodies to take care of the problems that we have. But when we interject and we create an artificial answer, and the same thing in the spiritual realm, isn't that true? That it's almost like we stop asking our body to do something that it actually wants to do for us. So you're back to this idea of saturated in alcohol. So people actually that go through withdrawals, maybe not under medical care, could die because they need medical care in this process. It's pretty serious.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And there are facilities that will use medications, and the majority of the medications, well, they first started with a lot of serotonin medications because GABA and serotonin have similar roles in the brain. But they started with a lot of antidepressants and stuff like that to help people get through. And currently, they're always working on GABA type medications. But the problem is when you take too much GABA medication, it can cause some permanency with the memory and cognitive disorders. So recently, a lot of these clinics that help people through this process are really turning towards nutritional therapy, sometimes in conjunction with the medications, because we know that alcoholism causes a pretty significant deficiency in thiamine. It's a B vitamin, B1, and funny enough, thiamine's one of its main roles, it helps a lot with nerve and muscle function, but one of its main roles is to help your brain and your nerves use blood sugar for energy. And use muscles for energy. So you start to lose the ability to actually get energy from sugar the more you drink alcohol. And so you go off of it, you still have that loss. And alcohol is a medication. It acts like a drug in many ways, because once you are not consuming it anymore, you start to actually have a true representation of what's going on in the body. A lot of times when we take opiates and other medications, it can actually cover up the underlying physiologic problems because we're not sensing them like we would have been. So alcohol acts very, very similar in that way. And so a lot of people, when you do it too quickly or you don't support your system enough, you can actually have severe consequences. Seizures is one of them. Many, many people die every year from going through it. And what we have found is you have to support them with amino acids, because that's what makes up glutamate, which then, along with sugar, which then gets converted to GABA. And you have to balance the blood sugar, insulin, and cortisol and address them appropriately. Because if you are in a state of insulin resistance and then you quit alcohol, which is your sugar of choice, and then all of a sudden you're not getting any sugar, you're going to drop into a hypoglycemic low blood sugar world, which then, if you've ever seen anyone with low blood sugar, they can talk funny talk. They get delirious. In severe cases, like we said, seizures, hallucinations, delirium are all part of the equation. If you're doing that by yourself, it can be very, very challenging.
Wow. Thank you so much for unpacking that. Okay. And one last question about, you see different forms of alcoholism. There's the raging drunk. There's the steady, person. Is there kind of a tipping point as far as when somebody who drinks casually to when that one just hooks them? Is it a Russian roulette? I mean, what happens when suddenly you go from a casual user to somebody who's got a disease and a sickness around it?
Ooh, that's a great question. I don't know if there's a definitive line drawn in the sand or if there's a gray area that people dance around in for years. But I would say there's a lot of people who are functional alcoholics, a lot of people who believe they're managing it okay, and then there is a tipping point. There's going to be something either in their lifestyle or a breakdown in their body somewhere that surprises them, meaning they thought they were in control and they're really not.
So those were invisible changes that suddenly become visible.
Yes, because you're not aware of it as much anymore. And one of the things that you've talked about in the past when I talk about when it comes to just being healthy is that it's a process, and people are always surprised that as you kind of work on the thing you're supposed to be working on, you peel that back as it's better. There's another layer there, and there's something deeper underneath it to work on again. You lose that when you start consuming the alcohol. Your body awareness, your awareness of self decreases when that's in excess. And so just having an awareness of that helps people sometimes to recognize, okay, I'm not seeing any change. Same thing as when people start doing more severe street drugs. We see that anyone who started heroin and those more addictive drugs when they're young, they never really mature beyond the age that they started. So if they started at 14 or 18 or 22, that's as far as they get. And so alcohol is not that far off. It's just a little trickier because of it's so slow. It's not as addictive as heroin. And it's legal, and so there's a lot of factors that play and roll into that. So
the occasional glass of wine is one thing, but the person who suddenly just turns to it and turns to it and turns to it, what's happening in their brain? Because I would even imagine mentally and emotionally, I'm turning to it. It seems like maybe you're postponing something that, what are you not feeling? What are you not dealing with if you're turning again and again and again?
Great way of saying it. And I'm going to say two things here. The occasional glass is actually very healthy for us. It's great for the heart. It's great for the mind because it has calmed things. It's great for potentially celebrating with people and friends that way as far as who you are when it comes to the occasional stressors and stuff. But if you're turning to it, I'm going to say this a couple ways. First, there's my faith side of that is that it now has become your idol because you're turning to it instead of God. And number two, if you're turning to it, when you are stressed, we crave sugar. And so the sugar of choice for women generally is chocolate. And then after that is wine or bread or sweets, ice cream.
Or wine and bread and chocolate.
Yes. on certain nights, it might be all of the above. But for men, the number one choice is alcohol.
Wow.
Chocolate doesn't even crack the top three for men unless they don't drink alcohol. But alcohol by far is the number one sugar of choice that men turn to during times of stress. And so for me, it's really a stress management scenario. But there's two things happening physiologically. Number one, the stress causes our adrenal glands to release different hormones, and cortisol might be one of them during long-term stress, and adrenaline's the other one. Adrenaline basically means it's like if we're being chased by a tiger, we're sending these signals to our arms and legs. Well, every time we use our muscles, we need two things, oxygen and sugar. So basically, just the act of releasing adrenaline is causing a craving for sugar because you expect to be using your arms and legs to run, fight, or flee. And so if that goes on long term, cortisol will do the same thing. You'll start craving sugar, but it's going to store it as fat. And so it becomes a very important scenario to balance that out and say, okay, listen, there are healthier forms of sugar out there for me. The second part of this, and this is where the addiction component can come in, many times in today's age, we actually see an increase in our mental responsibilities. And so we have all these things going on. And when you increase your GABA, when you have a glass of wine, you can artificially, temporarily forget, meaning you don't think about those stresses as much. It allows people to do it allows people to surrender without them actually participating, if that makes sense.
Wow, interesting, yeah.
And so we want to develop that ability to surrender. And sometimes just in our world that we live in, it becomes very challenging. So think about quick fixes. It's much easier to go and have a glass of wine or two or three or four and not have to think about things, and I'll deal with it tomorrow.
And that, you know, such a good balanced insight. And you think about God wants us to learn how to surrender, and that's something we have to learn how. And if we keep turning to counterfeit comforts, it seems like we short-circuit opportunities for growth every single time. So such good stuff. So when we come back, then we'll tackle the sugar detox and other forms of detox and wondering, you know, do each of us need to detox, and what does that look like? What steps should we take? More health and healing with Dr. Troy when we return. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Have our good friend Dr. Troy in studio. It's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We get him on every single month to answer your health questions. We have him for both hours, so be patient with me. We're talking the topic of detox. In a bit, we'll open up those phone lines. But as I said, this is huge because you're only going to hear this here. Next month in August 24th, when Dr. Troy comes back, we will have a live studio audience. And we've got about 20 seats available. And no cost to the tickets, but we do need you to email, and you'll kind of go in on a drawing, and we'll draw names, and you'll be formally invited by email. So if you want in on the live studio audience, we'll have some refreshments. It'll be great fun. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Do mention that Dr. Troy live audience or something like that. What we need is your email and your phone number, and then you'll receive a formal invitation. So I do hope you'll join us. So before we move on from alcohol detox to a sugar detox, this question came in. If you stop drinking, will the brain be permanently damaged, or does it repair itself? And she's speaking, I'm sure, of people who are saturated, who are detoxing from alcoholism.
Yeah, it's a great question because the answer is yes, yes, and no. So if there's been, it really depends on what damage has been done as far as the severity. And sometimes there's some permanent memory loss. But a lot of times, if you catch it before the severity of destruction has occurred, you can actually see some, if not all, repair. So there's the potential for repair. It really depends on the amount of destruction that's been done. And you have to really be able to balance the nutritional deficiencies, which include the thiamine deficiency, the blood sugar balance, the insulin and cortisol. And that can take months and years to get that under control. And then the regeneration and neuroprotective antioxidants in a good, healthy diet. So you're looking at 6 months to 5 years as far as being able to regenerate and get that back. But we now know that you can do something. It's challenging at times because you're also doing that in the midst of being bombarded by other things that influence those healing factors. But if it's been too far down the road, we do see some permanency there more often than we see a complete healing.
Yeah. And just a reminder, it takes us a long time to get to some of those places. And so it's going to take us time to create new memories even in our body, right?
Yes, yeah, especially in this scenario.
Yeah. Okay, so the sugar detox, you know, I'm sure you've heard this 1,000 times, I sure have, that it's like, why would I go off sugar? Because I feel crummy when I eat it again, and I feel fine now. But I think it's a slow descent, and you don't know what you're missing, because there's an energy that you can have that you don't currently have if you're really ODing on the sugar thing.
Yeah, exactly right, because the more sugar you consume, in the beginning, sugar gives us that high because our nerves are so good at using it for energy. And then slowly they become less and less efficient. Our insulin becomes almost not as useful. So the way to think of it is insulin is kind of like a key that unlocks a door, and the door opens, the sugar goes in, and then the inside that door is the energy of the cell, and that's where your energy comes from. But when you start eating a lot of sugar and the insulin's ready to go, opens the door, and then you don't go in because you're not using that cell, then all of a sudden we start to see some problems. So if we're eating carbohydrates like sugar and then not exercising or using them appropriately, then all of a sudden the insulin gets confused and says, you know, you asked me to come open the door, but you're not going in. So what's up? You know, our insulin doesn't really say what's up, but you
dude,
know what I mean.
What's
dude,
up?
Really? So then it starts to not be as effective at opening the door so that the sugar can come in. So then when the cell really does want the sugar, it's the whole cry wolf scenario. Mm. So insulin resistance is really the cry wolf scenario where all of a sudden you now are requiring sugar and it's not getting there. So people don't really get, they don't correlate the two because it happens so slowly. All of a sudden those cells stop working effectively. Now that, if it's a cell that deals with brain tissue, that could manifest as some type of memory issues. And now they're even, the nickname for some of the dementia disorders are type 3 diabetes or diabetes of the brain. In the peripheral smaller nerves and muscles of the feet and the blood vessels of the fingers and the feet, they start to not be as efficiently used as well. And so we start to see neuropathies and problems with our distal extremities. And so we start to see this dysfunction start to go down, 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 and it takes a while to try and correct that if you jump on it right away. So it's one of those scenarios where people don't know what they don't know because it happens so slowly, and they're just becoming desensitized. It's kind of like there's that old analogy of the frog slowly. I'm not even sure if it's true or not.
Yeah, you put him in boiling water, he'll jump out, but you put him in slow.
And slowly raise the temperature.
He'll lay there till he dies.
Yeah, so it's whether that's true or not as far as that actually happens.
The frog's name was Joe. Just
oh, no,
talk
don't
about
put a
him.
Name to the frog.
Just kidding.
I'm a visual person. I can't
so
do that.
Sorry.
Poor Joe.
Exactly. I'm so sorry. Keep going.
So it's that same scenario, though. We're essentially that frog. And so We basically don't start to recognize the decline. And one of the things I really, really am not a fan of is when people start coming in saying, well, that's just because I'm getting older. It's old age. Yes, you're getting older. You are becoming less and less efficient, but it doesn't have to be that way. I have patients who are in their 80s riding in the Tour de France. I have I have one right now who just he's on pace right now to break the world record for the oldest man to climb the 6 highest mountains. He just came down. He celebrated his 80th birthday on Mount Kilimanjaro.
Wow.
Mount Kilimanjaro. And
Come on, somebody.
Yes. And so these people are doing it in their 80s.
Yeah.
And so we have people coming in that are 39 years old saying that, well, it's old age and I can't get out of the chair anymore. And I'm like, no, it doesn't have to be like that. And so we have a saying at Synapse, don't let age be your cage. And that's something that we stand behind with every single person, because we see people as they start cleaning things up, all of a sudden their potential starts to come back. And when you treat your body right, you'll be shocked and amazed what you can do with that body.
Well, you know, I'll just tell you, I've said this before, but when I first saw Dr. Troy a year and a half ago, and you did, I don't remember what the test was, but you put little paddles on my hands and feet and to determine like the fluid in my body.
Bioimpedance analysis.
Yeah, and it showed 13 pounds of toxins in my system, and I'm 5 foot two and a half. And I'm like, what? But the thing is, when I would take any kind of vitamins, I felt sick. My body was so kind of mucked up, you know, and to go through the process of cleansing and detoxing in my own way, I feel so much lighter. I can't explain it, but I'm lighter on my toes. My energy and clarity and everything has come back. And I feel like people don't really know what they're missing. So let's say, though, someone decides I've got a heavy, and maybe they don't think they have a high sugar diet because they don't eat sweets, but they have a lot of starch and it's still sugar, right?
But or processed food. Even that scenario falls in the same category.
So let's say they decided to make it an about face and they go cold turkey. What are some of the symptoms that would happen if they start to kind of go plant-based, you know, veggies and fruit, and what would happen?
Well, there's going to be a detox reaction.
Right.
And so what that means is with sugar in particular, there's multiple levels to this conversation. So number one, sugar is a stimulant. So when we eat, because we need it for energy. So temporarily, you're going to have less energy. And so that's one more reason why people say, oh, I feel worse off of sugar. I better go back on it. Well, no, you're going to have less energy because you're temporarily not putting the sugar in. Number two, the thing you were just talking about, the bioimpedance analysis, that measures your lymph system. Lymph system is the fluid and all the products outside of the cell. Lymph literally means Greek for fast flowing waters or river. So it's like a river system in our bodies. When we have garbage, our cells and our lymphocytes, our immune system, will dump the garbage into the river system. And then it flows downstream to the liver and we detoxify it and take it out of the body. That's a perfect world. So picture a big, beautiful, clean river system, clear water, and it's just flowing. Now, after years of eating things that our body doesn't know what to do with, so it becomes garbage, or excess of bacteria or virus, or the worst culprit of them all, excess sugar. They all go and get dumped into this lymph system. Now your lymph system has become more like a lava stream. It's thick, it's dark, it's not flowing quickly, it's sluggish. Now muscle contraction helps push that. So some people will exercise and keep it flowing decently, but as soon as they stop exercising, it stops flowing. And so it's really important to clean that out. And people don't realize how it accumulates because as we age, we also, our cells tend to break down faster than they did when we were younger. So those broken down cells collapse, literally collapse, and they're taken to the liver lymph system, which then goes to the river system. So as we age, we actually need to have more lymph support, move more, exercise more, and eat clean. That's why people are in their 80s, they really do have, they've got 80 years of collecting garbage from our environment. We're the filter for our environment. Whereas someone who's 5 years, they've only got 5 years. So their lymph system is not as developed, but it's also not as congested. And so just by keeping things as clean as possible, you can really start to change that lymphatic congestion scenario. And sugar is one of the big culprits because it'll thicken that water. So it doesn't become clear and flowing. It becomes sticky. It literally becomes sticky.
And it contributes to inflammation, so it affects the vessel wall too, doesn't it?
Yeah, so things aren't as, things are, when they're inflamed, it's like little low-grade fires. So it's more reactive. So not only is it on fire, it's a living system. And so there's reactions to it. So the fire, the water literally will get used to put out the fires. The alkalinity, the alkalizing nutrients nearby, like calcium and other alkalizers, will be used to put out the acidic fires. And so the stuff that we're supposed to be using for our normal everyday activity is now being used to put out the fires. And so it's very, very much retroactive versus proactive as far as just living life. So the energy you're talking about is the change between the artificial energy, which we actually, some people think is really good because it gives them that temporary burst, compared to the real energy of life that we are given when everything's working beautifully. But it can take 6 months to years to get that system back on track.
Wow. One more question before we go to break here. So when a person's fasting and things show up on their tongue, like a coated tongue or things in their skin, talk about what's happening there.
So there's a couple ways we detoxify. So first of all, in the traditional medical world, they think of detoxification like we were talking about earlier, alcohol and drug detoxification. And so what I'm talking about now is a different form of detoxification, which is really when we remove things from our environment and our system starts to naturally pull out the toxins that are within us that it didn't have the ability to do beforehand because it was too overwhelmed or too busy working on other stuff. And so, or other toxins. So when you fast and you see things come out through the skin, it's because of a couple of reasons. Number one, our main detoxifying organs are the liver, the kidneys, the lungs, the skin, and the colon, the digestive system. So those are the areas that chemicals and toxins are going to be removed from our body. When all of a sudden you are fasting, you'll start to see these things come through those detoxifying areas. So the lymph system will go to the skin, and a lot of times if the skin, the skin's an organ, basically, and so it will clamp down and close up its doors, if you will, if your immune system is compromised. And so we don't see things coming out through the skin until the immune system kind of catches up and you go into a mode of cleansing. And so when you fast, you're not adding extra food for the digestive system and the liver system to have to work on and metabolize. When you do that, all of a sudden the components that are in the lymph system can be brought to the liver system, and the other acids can be brought and minerals can be brought through the kidney system. So your urine will get darker, and that's why you want to drink lots of water, because you want to keep fueling the water to go into this lymph system and help cleanse everything. Your pores open up, so you start to see things come out through the skin, the tongue, and the kidneys and the liver. And even your breath will get really bad because now your lungs are starting to detoxify. You'll even notice mucus starting to loosen and come free. That's your immune system.
Wow.
So you're basically, your immune system can now focus on cleaning up the mess. So the way I want you to see it is we're on a big round tub floating in this lake, and the rain that's coming down is like toxins, and that's our daily diet, our daily lifestyle. And so we have a little bucket within this tub that we're constantly getting all the water out to stay afloat. And then as soon as the rain stops, that's like going onto a fast. We don't have that extra amount of toxins entering our system. So now we can start to work on the stuff that's already in the boat that's sinking us. And as we start to clean
Fantastic.
That out, then we start to regain and get above our head above water, so to speak, start floating higher, and we raise up. And you can become much, much more afloat, much, much more proactively living life versus surviving life.
That's an amazing, amazing analogy. So when we come back, we have one more question about statins, and I think we'll have a few minutes that I'll pull a couple questions from emails from listeners last month. Talking to Dr. Troy, it's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And then when we cross over that top of the hour, we will open up the phone lines and take your questions. Remember, if you want to be part of the live studio audience next month with Dr. Troy, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your phone number, and then just reference that you want to be part of the live audience. 20 of you will receive a formal invitation. It's going to be a great day. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. Having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Have our good friend Dr. Troy in studio. He joins us every month for Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And we've been spending this first hour talking about the process of detox, whether it's a detox from alcohol, a detox from sugar. And I got one quick question for you about statins, and then we'll take a couple of these emails regarding detox. And then next hour, we'll open up the phone lines and answer your questions as best we can. So the idea of statins, and I know doctors usually say once you're on them, you kind of have to be on them forever. First of all, is that true?
No. Some people, yes. Some people, no.
Yeah, they can change
things. Most, no, I would say, yeah.
Wow, very good. So when someone, you know, goes off of them for about a week and a half, let's say they let them run out and then they don't refill them, and the terrible joint pain and stiffness that happens, and other things I've heard happen as well, skin things, what's happening there? Is that a detox process or?
So it could be. So mm-hmm. The funny thing is with statins, we usually, the main complaint is joint muscle weakness and joint pain while they're on them. And that's 10 to 17% of the people will have that as a side effect. And what it does is a statin will pull out CoQ10, not for everyone, but for a lot of people because of the nature of what it does. And so they become very deficient in an antioxidant that's very heart protective and muscle protective called CoQ10. And so the first thing is just to make sure that you have enough CoQ10. So if you go off of them and you replace the CoQ10 and the muscle aches and pains go away, then it's a CoQ10 deficiency that was induced by the medication. However, it could also be what we were talking about before, which is a detox reaction, because statins are really hard on the liver. And so when you go off of that, now the liver's available to start pulling lymph in and start to work better. And so it can be a withdrawal symptom like fasting. It could be the exact same conversation that you didn't know was there because of the extra burden that was on the liver from the medication.
So it's been so busy before with the meds that suddenly it doesn't have to deal with that. It's dealing with it, the other stuff.
Yes. And so, yeah. And taking a look at the joints and there's a lot of other factors, but those are the two main scenarios that we'd look at or two roads we'd go down and investigate. And when on the detox side of it, that would mean that there is some extra lymph, there is some extra work to do in and around the lymph system, dehydration, other deficiencies like fish oils or omega-3s and antioxidant or adrenal scenarios. So there are many other factors that play into it. Sometimes it's a cortisol imbalance as well because cortisol is a main anti-inflammatory, and we see some changes with that. And specifically in the joints, and that's one of the things that happens when you kind of go into that detox mode. So a lot of factors there, but the CoQ10 one is a known challenge. Most people who are put on statins nowadays, the doctors will counsel them on make sure you take your CoQ10 with that.
So as a rule, maybe you should do that. You know, something to remember as you're listening to Dr. Troy is that when you go through detox of any kind, things have to get worse before they get better. It's just that we have to be committed to the process, right?
Yes, and so it takes a certain mental fortitude, yeah, and support and preparation. It depends, again, on the severity of the addiction, how long you've been taking a certain mm-hmm. medication. It depends on what you're dealing with. So know that, but be prepared for a potential challenge. Now, the funny thing is sometimes it just goes as smooth as silk and people just start feeling better right away. Hmm. And so I can't really explain that. And I've done many things throughout my few years here on Earth, and sometimes I'll have just the most horrific reaction, and other times it'll be very easy doing the exact same type of cleaning up my diet or something.
And who knows what you were exposed to, right?
Yeah, I mean. But even the reactions and stuff, and I try and make sense of it, and doesn't always work out that way. So. Hmm. So timing's a funny thing too. So sometimes it just goes very, very smoothly. But I encourage people to just prepare themselves, prepare their family, because irritability is one of the most common reactions to withdrawal. There's just an irritability there that even the nicest of people can
surprise you. Yeah, I hear the stories about people who go on Whole 30. Which I've got a friend who's on it. She said, just changed her life. But that, you know, I've read articles even they say, you know, don't make any big decisions during this particular day and that day, because once you're going through the sugar detox, you're not yourself.
No.
You're
exactly
not yourself
right.
Without a Snickers.
That's right.
Anyway, so this dear listener writes in and says, my 54-year-old brother-in-law was diagnosed with ataxia a couple years ago from alcoholism, but he hasn't drank now for several years. His speech is slurred and he has to use a wheelchair. He's getting progressively worse. Is there anything he can do to reverse this? What do you say?
Well, reverse is a pretty strong word, so I wouldn't say that per se. But what I would say, that's a perfect example of what I was talking about before. When you have alcohol or GABA agonist like alcohol, we literally lose the ability to walk and talk. We stumble and slur. And so this is the end stage manifestation. So there was damage done to these nerves. And so can you get them back? That ultimately depends. The same scenario as far as rehabbing becomes relevant, though. We have to look for and support a thiamine deficiency. So we have to make sure the thiamine is there, is working. We have to make sure the blood sugar, insulin, and cortisol are balanced and working properly. Now, because he can't use his muscles, he's in a wheelchair, there's certain exercises that have to be done to upregulate those things. So that will help in the production of GABA. There are medications that can help mimic GABA, but then memory might become compromised even more. So it's a slippery slope. This definitely has to be managed by someone who knows what they're doing, but it is potentially possible to at least stop the backward or downward spiral by supporting the system right now in those main areas. Because a lot of times when people stop alcohol, they start to crave another sugar. And if you fall to that craving, you're never going to get your GABA levels back to the way they're supposed to be.
Wow.
So you'll go from stopping alcohol, but then start consuming ice cream and you don't think anything of it. Well, that ice cream is now stopping you from brain rehabilitation.
Wow.
Because you need that sugar balanced and that cortisol balanced. And the stress of now being in that state, you are now hyper aware of the fact that you have ataxia and are in a wheelchair and your life is different. And that awareness can cause a mental stressor that in the past you would have gone to alcohol to help block it. But you have to work with that, deal with that, and help get the cortisol balance. Mm. Now think about how long that can take. Mm. So there's a mental, chemical, and a physical component to this level of rehabilitation that has to be addressed on all sides. And you have to keep climbing from there. And I have a patient I'm thinking of in particular. It took her 2.5 years to get back to the point of walking again in addressing all these areas. There was a lot of life trauma. There was even a genetic predisposition to ataxia. And so there was a lot working against her, but she was still able to get up and start doing it. Now, she has not a strong gait. She can walk, but you can tell she's got something neurologic going on when she walks. But she can walk now, and she can dance, and she can do things that she wanted to do, and she's healthier now than her brothers and sisters who are going through the exact same process.
You know, Dr. Troy, this just goes to show you, I mean, the enemy just baits us into these counterfeit comforts. You know, come on, he just baits us into it. And we seem like it works for a while, because it seems like it works for a while, but it's taking us down a slippery slope. And it's like we're postponing our overall healing and our health. And God has so much more for us. And he has grace for us when we make a mess of our lives. And I love that.
Thank God.
But amen. But it seems the farther we go down by numbing, I don't want to say medicating, because there's a place for certain medication. Right, but numbing our pain and not dealing with our emotional hurt, the farther we go down that path, it seems the longer the road and the harder the work to get back, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the enemy just, he doesn't want to see us max out our potential.
Right.
God does. And
that's
so
right.
This is just dampening who the best of us, who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to max out our potential and give God the glory for all of that, because when we do that, we just can accomplish amazing things in God's name.
Indeed.
Now, who wants that? We do.
Yeah.
God does.
Amen. Yeah.
I know who doesn't.
Exactly. So we just have to look at the ways the enemy baits us. And that's why when you go back to the passage in Hebrews, let us throw up everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. This isn't about legalism, but it is a challenge to look at what stuff do I turn to again and again and again to numb out just because I can. And it's not hurting anybody, but is it putting you in a captive place? It's just worth looking at. And that's why I'm a big fan of partial fast. I'm just lay this thing down for a little while so I can lay hold of more of the Lord. Now, okay, we're wrapping up this hour. When we come back, we'll open those phone lines and love to hear from you. If you've got any kind of health question, we would love to have Dr. Troy answer that as best we can for you. So I want to tell you, though, if you want in on the live studio audience next month, you're not going to hear about it anywhere else, not on the web, and anywhere, just here. So email me if you want a chance to be a part of that live studio audience next month in August, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget that phone number, and we'll be back in a minute.